grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah, wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Nurallah. MashaAllah. Viewers of Madri Channel, welcome to Rise and Shine. Viewers of Madri Channel, on Rise and Shine, this week we've got, today we've got a different topic for you, inshaAllah. But before we discuss the topic, we're going to give you a blessing of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, is reported to have said that whoever sends salat upon me 1,000 times a day, he will not die until he sees his place in paradise. 1,000 times a day, how long does that take, viewers of Madri Channel? Before every namaz, if you do it 100, and after every namaz, 100. That's five namazes times the 200, 1,000 times. And inshaAllah, you will see your place in paradise. And we mentioned many, many waqias. I've had people during their lifetimes, they are fortunate enough that in their dreams, they have been told that this is your place in paradise. And I pray to Allah that every Muslim around the world sees their place in paradise before they die, but they earn it. They do the rewards to earn it. And one of the beautiful ways of earning the rewards of paradise is by reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madri Channel, as you know, when you watch Arise and Shine in the morning, then straight after we give you our blessings of reciting Durood e Pak, we also have the privilege of listening to some verses of the Holy Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajeem. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والشمس وضحاها والقمر إذا تلاها والنهار إذا جلاها والليل إذا يغشاها والسماء وما بناها والأرض وما طحاها ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها كذبت ثمود بتغواها إذ انبعث أشقاها فقال لهم رسول الله ناقة الله وسقياها فكذبوه فعقروها فدمدم عليهم ربهم بذنبهم فسواها ولا يخاف عقباها آمنت بالله صدق الله العظيم.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. MashaAllah, we just had the privilege of listening to some verses of the Holy Quran, and how relaxing it is first thing in the morning to be able to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that every Muslim household around the world has the privilege of listening or reading at least a couple of verses of the Holy Quran every day. And if we make a habit of doing this, sitting down as a family, reciting at least three verses of the Holy Quran with translation and commentary, then inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, we'll have a relaxing day, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, a spiritual day, but also we'll come to know what Allah Azza wa Jal wants from us, the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal, what Allah Azza wa Jal prohibits from us, and inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, we can learn so much more as well. Viewers of Madri Channel, on Rise and Shine, normally what we do is we talk about, we have two different types of aspects of topics that we talk about. We talk about that topic where we try to improve ourselves, something that involves rectification, something that involves our manners, whether it be lying, cheating, swearing, backbiting, or all sorts of other things as well. But at the same time, at least once a week, what we try to do is we try to talk about our rich heritage, our history of Islam, the people of the past, and how important they are for us today as well. And so much that they have sacrificed, that they have done for us, and as a result of their sacrifices, as a result of their work, the Deen of Islam has got to us today. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, what a great personality he was. And today, inshallah, we're going to learn something about his life. And before we actually go to the kalam, I just want to say here, he was the third righteous Khalifa. Now, unfortunately, there are many of us that even do not know the names of the four righteous Khalifas. They do not know the names of the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They do not know the names of the prophets. And that's why we've decided here on Rise and Shine that at least once a week, we're going to talk about our pious predecessors. We're going to talk about those people, those flag bearers of Islam, those people that sacrificed so much in their lives. And inshallah, as we're doing today's program, we're going to learn a little bit about the life of Sayyidina Hazrat Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, about his sacrifices he made, and also the love, the unique love that he had for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But before we inshallah discuss the topic more, inshallah, let's go to the kalam of the day. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Mawla ya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihim. Mawla ya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habibika بك خير الخلق كلهم.
Oh my master, descend peace and blessings countlessly, eternally upon your beloved, the best of creation.
محمد سيد الكونين وثقلين. محمد سيد الكونين وثقلين والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم.
آپ ہیں حضرت محمد سرور ہر دو سرا. آپ ہیں حضرت محمد سرور ہر دو سرا. آپ ہیں عرب و عجم جن و بشر کے پیشوا. آپ پر لاکھوں درود اور آپ پر لاکھوں سلام.
محمد is the leader of both worlds, both creations.
Muhammad is the leader of both worlds, both creations.
And even both groups, Arabs and Ajam.
Mawla ya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habib بك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم.
آپ ہیں محبوب حق اور شافع روز جزا. آپ ہیں محبوب حق اور شافع روز جزا. ناگہانی آفتوں میں آپ کا ہے آسرا. آپ پر لاکھوں درود اور آپ پر لاکھوں سلام.
He is the beloved whose intercession is hoped.
He is the beloved whose intercession is hoped.
For in every sudden calamity.
Mawla ya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habib
بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
يا أكرم الخلق ما لي من ألوذ به يا أكرم الخلق ما لي من ألوذ به سواك عند حلول الحديث العمامي
اکرم المخلوق مانگو اور میں کس سے پناہ اکرم المخلوق مانگو اور میں کس سے پناہ حادثات عام میں ہے آپ میری تکیہ گاہ آپ پر لاکھوں درود اور آپ پر لاکھوں سلام
O most noble of creation, I've learned to seek refuge. O most noble of creation, I've learned to seek refuge. In other than you and universal calamities descend.
Mawlaya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habib. بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
فإن من جودك الدنيا وضرتها فإن من جودك الدنيا وضرتها ومن علومك علم اللوح والقلم
بے شبہ دونوں جہاں ہے آپ کا جود و کرم بے شبہ دونوں جہاں ہے آپ کا جود و کرم آپ کے کل علم کا ایک جزو ہے لوح و قلم آپ پر لاکھوں درود اور آپ پر لاکھوں سلام
So indeed the world and the hereafter are from your grace So indeed the world and the hereafter are from your grace
And part of your knowledge is the knowledge of the preserved tablet and the pen
Mawlaya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habib بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا يا ربي مصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم
اے خدا دیتا ہوں تجھ کو مصطفیٰ کا واسطہ اے خدا دیتا ہوں تجھ کو مصطفیٰ کا واسطہ پورے فرما سب مقاصد بخش دے میرے گناہ آپ پر لاکھوں درود اور آپ پر لاکھوں سلام
Oh my Rabb, by the chosen one, fulfill our wishes. Oh my Rabb, by the chosen one, fulfill our wishes.
And forgive us for what has passed.
Mawlaya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habib. بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما شاء الله I hope you Viewers of Madhi Channel, enjoy that kalam. And obviously in the kalam, we're talking about sending durood and salam upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unfortunate are those people, viewers of Madhi Channel, who love the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unfortunate are those people that can express their love, because the love of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is part of our iman. It's part of our iman, viewers of Madhi Channel. And the reason why we listen to these kalams, or the reason why we listen to these nas, is to increase our love, increase our respect of not only the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but anything associated with him, anything attributed to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be it the streets of Medina, be it the places where he went, be it anything that is attributed to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if part of our iman is to show love and respect to what is attributed to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then surely you can understand that loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how important it is. Viewers of the channel, on Rise and Shine today, we're talking about one such companion of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was without doubt, a true lover of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just to give you an example of the love that Sayyidina Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala had for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is stated that one day he approached the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please come to my house, bring your friends with you, bring your companions with you, and whatever food I have at my house, please eat with me. So basically there was an invitation to his house, and the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted his invitation, and they started walking towards his house. Now Sayyidina Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, he stands behind the Prophet, and he's looking at the feet of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it becomes apparent after a while that what he's doing is he's counting the steps of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Listen to this, viewers of Madhi Channel. He's counting the steps. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also becomes aware of this, and he stops and he pauses. And he said, Ya Usman radiallahu ta'ala, why are you counting my steps? Why are you counting the steps that I'm taking? And Sayyidina Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala replied, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, I've made the intention that out of your love, out of your respect, that for every step that you take to my house, for every single step that you take to my house, I will free one slave. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And so he continued to count all of the steps that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made to his house. And when he made to his house, he calculated how many steps, and he freed that many slaves. Why? Out of love and out of respect for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Can you just, you know, when you hear that waqia, can you just imagine the scene? Just pause for a second, viewers of Madhi Channel. Imagine the scene that Sayyidina Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala is walking behind the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's looking at the blessed feet of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's counting the steps and making a note of the steps. And why? Why? Because of the love that he had, the respect that they had. And you know, the companions used to compete with each other. You know, we compete. Nowadays, we compete with each other, don't we? But how do we compete? We compete with each other that who can have the biggest house, who can have the fastest car, the biggest car, who can have the biggest balance, who can have the flashiest clothes, the flashiest shoes, who can have the most land, who can have the most, the better business, you know, my business has got so big now that it's on the stock market. It's such a huge business. And this is our competition. The companions, how did they used to compete? They used to compete that who can please the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who can show and express the love, who can make the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam happy. And this, again, is part of our iman, viewers of Madhi Channel, that our iman should be to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our iman should also be to please with our acts, to please the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in that particular incident that I mentioned, that when, and this is another thing that you see a lot in the hadith as well, when Sayyidina Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala was asked that, why are you counting my steps? He did not simply reply, I'm counting your steps because I want to free a slave for every step that you take. He said, and this has said many, many places, he said that, may my father and my mother be sacrificed for you. I'm counting the steps for this reason. And the companions, throughout the time, whenever they were asked a question, whenever the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them a question, they said, may our mother and father be sacrificed for you. You know better than us. We do not know. But this was the expression of love. And Allah Azza wa Jal talks to us, tells us in the Quran about the respect and the love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we should have. Allah Azza wa Jal says, in order that all people, you may believe in Allah Azza wa Jal and His Messenger, and honor and revere the Messenger, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you should glorify Allah morning and evening. Allahu Akbar. It is written, viewers of the channel, in Tafsir Siratul Jinan. Now, before I go on, Tafsir Siratul Jinan is a set of tafsir that you can download from our website, www.dawatislami.net. It's also available in the book form. I believe it is 10 volumes. It's an extensive tafsir. It's a modern commentary of the Quran written by Mufti Qasim Shah, mashallah. Read that, and inshallah, it will enlighten your faith and improve your faith and ultimately improve your love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the Tafsir Siratul Jinan, with regards to the aforementioned verse that I mentioned, it states, one comes to know from this verse that the respect and reverence of the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is greatly desired and carries a deep importance in the majestic court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because here, Allah Azza wa Jal has made the respect and reverence of His beloved precede His tasbih, mentioning His glorification. Also, whilst declaring those who respect Him after they believe as being successful and prosperous. And he goes on to say in the tafsir that Allah Azza wa Jal also states, and he gives Surah Al-Araf, verse 157, so those who believe in Him and honor Him and give Him assistance and follow the light, i.e. the Quran, which was sent down to them, it is they who have become successful. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Viewers of the channel, from this we come to know that the blessed companions are those who mention the method. They have given us the method, the criteria of the respect and love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are the ones that have shown us how to do it. And in fact, whichever methods they've done, and they've done it in so many different ways. If you read, and this again, views of the channel, we keep on saying this, but until we read and acquire the knowledge of these great companions, of how they loved, because nowadays we get shaitanic whispers. Oh, no, no, you shouldn't be doing that. Oh, no, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't say that. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't act like this. You shouldn't act like that. Look at the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these companions, when they showed their love, they didn't ask how, why, where, when, why do I need to do this? How do I need to do this? What's the benefit in doing this? What's the benefit in doing this? For them, if the Prophet did it, they did it. They didn't think, they followed. They didn't think, they followed. They were true followers. They were true believers. They were true lovers. They didn't ask questions. And we hear many, many incidents of where, you know, without any, what would appear to be any worldly benefit, you would see that the lovers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they copied the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not knowing of any benefit. And nowadays, you know, science is trying to catch up, and it'll never catch up. Science is trying to catch up with Islam and say, okay, yes, this is the benefit in doing wudu, this is the benefit in namaz, this is the benefit in fasting, this is the benefit in using the miswak sharif. But there are many, many things that science has not found out yet. But at the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they didn't wait for science. They didn't wait for science. They followed. They followed. They showed their love. They showed their love. And Sayyidina Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu is amongst those companions who showed love. And all of the companions, the amount that they did, the sacrifices that they made, we can never make that. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself said that you're spending, if you spend of gold equal to the mountain, you know, a mountain of gold. If you spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal a mountain of gold, yeah, that will not be equal to one mud or even a half mud spent by a companion. And a mud is a small weight that was used at the time. I can't remember the exact number of grams, but a small weight that was measured at the time. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is explaining to us that if you spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal equal to a gold mountain, yeah, a gold mountain is probably more than any wealth that is on this planet at this moment. If you spend all of that wealth, it will not be equal to what a small amount that the companions spent in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is the sacrifices they made. The noble companions, viewers of Malik Channel, they are those people who accepted Islam first. Nowadays, we are fortunate. The majority of us that are watching this program now, we were born into the fold of Islam. Within a couple of hours of being born, the azan was read in our ears. We were given an Islamic name. We were given Islamic teaching. We were brought up in an Islamic household. But the companions, if you read about the sacrifices that they made, so that they could follow the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sacrifice, they literally, you know, nowadays we say we lay down our lives, we're willing to lay down our lives for Islam. We say it. They did it. They sacrificed everything. Family, money, wealth, their lives, everything for the sake of Islam. And it's through their sacrifices, viewers of Manisham, that the deen of Islam has got here today. And nobody can ever compare themselves to the status of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These companions, viewers of Madinah channel, when they were given the idawat, when they were invited into the fold of Islam, they said, Labbaik. Yes, Ya Rasulullah, we will follow you. And they followed him. They saw, they are the fortunate people, viewers of Madinah channel, and this is why they're given the status of the Sahaba, that they saw with their own eyes the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How fortunate they were. They are the most superior and high ranking amongst the Ummah. Nobody in the Ummah, viewers of Madinah channel, can compare themselves to a Sahaba. Nobody can achieve their status. Nobody can get to their status. Nobody. No matter how pious you are, no matter where you are, nobody at all can achieve the status of the companions. Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned the good qualities in the Holy Quran. This again is the status of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And their ranks, their status, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned them so many times. As I mentioned to you before, that if you were to sacrifice gold, the equivalent to a mountain, it would not be comparison to a small amount that the companions give. They attained the honor of preaching the Islam first. It's through their actions, viewers of Mother Channel. It is said that there were 110,000, approximately 110,000 companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do you know how many are buried in Jannat al-Baqi in Madinah Sharif? Do you know? 110,000 companions. Let's say there's 110,000 companions. How many do you think are buried in Jannat al-Baqi? Well, 110,000, let's say 100,000. No. 80,000? No. 50,000? No. 20,000? No. 10,000 companions are buried in Jannat al-Baqi. Where are the 100,000? Allahu Akbar. The 100,000 traveled far and wide, all across the world, to spread the deen of Islam. They are those fortunate people. They are those fortunate people that started, you know, they spread the deen of Islam. And through them, wherever they went into Africa, into Asia, into the Far East, into China, wherever these companions went, as a result of those efforts, all of those millions, billions of Muslims that are around the world are because of the sacrifices that they made. You know, nowadays we say to ourselves that, you know, if you are fortunate amongst that, for example, in a town, in a city, where there'll be a Jamiat al-Madinah created, or there'll be a Madrasat al-Madinah created. And if you are amongst those fortunate people that help in building that madrasa, or help in building that jamia, then from now till eternity, all the graduates that come out of that, all the people that learn the Quran, or all the scholars that come out of that jamia, that inshaAllah, azawajal, you will get part of that reward. But think about that person that brought the deen of Islam to that city, that brought the deen of Islam to that country. Then everything that happens in that country, everything that happens in that city from then till eternity, they will get the reward of. And that is the status of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these companions, they didn't have it easy. Nowadays, when we travel in the way of Allah azza wa jal, when there are Madri Kaflas, views of Madri Channel, we go to different cities, we go to different countries, and we welcome them. You know, when you go at the airport, people put flowers on you, yeah? And they give you extra food, and you know, they look after you and take care of you and give you so much and look after you and care for you. When these people left their homes to spread the deen of Islam, they didn't know where they were going. They didn't have the internet with them and the mobile phones. Okay, what is the climate like there? Okay, what are the people like there? Okay, what are they? No, I don't think I should go there. I'll go there instead. They didn't have that. They went. And it said that when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his final speech, he said, spread the deen of Islam so that the people that hear it last understand it better than the people that hear it first. I spread it in a good way. That they said that some of the companions, whichever direction the horses were facing, they got on the horses and they went in that direction. They didn't know where they were going. They just went. And nowadays, when we say to you, travel in the way of Allah azza wa jalla for 3 days, too hard. We're not willing to make any sacrifices. These companions, they sacrificed everything. All the wealth that they had, everything they had, they sacrificed. Now again, think about it, viewers of my channel. the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were not a different creation in the sense that they were human beings like me and you. They were human beings. Human beings have needs, have wants, have desires. We all have them. I want to have a cup of tea. I've got a cup of tea here. Yeah. We all have these. They had wants, they had desires, they had needs. But they sacrificed all of that. They sacrificed all of the desires, the needs and wants. Why? For the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They sacrificed all of it. Did you not think that they would have been happy sitting at home on the comfortable, you know, sitting chairs or whatever, sofas or whatever they had, equivalent the beds? They would have been happy sitting there, but no. They realized the importance of spreading the deen of Islam. They realized this importance, and that is why they sacrificed so much. And they endured so much. They endured hunger, they endured persecution, they endured humiliation, they endured boycotting, and all of this they endured so that the deen of Islam could get to us today. We're just talking a little bit about the companions in general, but inshallah, after the break, we're going to talk specifically about Sayyidina Hazrat Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu, about his qualities, about the sacrifices that he made, and the love that he showed for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're going to take a small break now, and we're going to go to the reminder of the day, inshallah, and let's see what we're going to learn in the reminder of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madni Channel, Allah Azza wa Jal, the merciful, the most kind, the master of the day of judgment, has prepared the eternal everlasting blessings of Jannah for believers and his obedient bondmen in the hereafter. We need to understand for whom are these magnificent blessings of Jannah are destined. Those believers who continue carrying out virtuous deeds throughout their lives have received the glad tidings of Jannah, as it is stated in Surah An-Nisa, ayah number 124 and Juz number 5. Translation from the glorious Kunzul Iman: whoever does virtuous deeds, whether man or woman, and is a Muslim, will admit to paradise, and they will not be wronged a bit. Commentating on the blessed ayah, Alama Mufti Ahmed Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullah Ta'ala Alayh has stated, whichever human, man or woman, if he or she does good deeds according to his or her ability and is a true believer with correct belief, then he or she would be rewarded with the entry into Jannah after the Day of Judgment. The level of Jannah that one would get will be according to one's deeds. No one will be oppressed, even to a slightest bit. As one who deserves a higher level, his level is reduced and is granted a lower level without any reason. Such injustice will not take place at all. My sweet viewers of Madni Channel, look how merciful our Lord is. Look how kind Allah Azza wa Jal is. He gave us Islam. He gave us the way to go to Jannah. He showed us, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us the way to go to Jannah. He showed us how to love our Creator. But remember, it says in the Holy Quran, ones that believe and do good works will be admitted to Jannah. We believe, we say we believe, we admit we believe. But do we do any good works? If we are Muslims and we do good work, then we will enter Jannah, inshallah, azza wa jal. Do we read our salah? This is good work, because it's farz. Do we pay zakat? do we fast in the month of Ramadan? Do we go to Hajj if we can afford it? These are the fara'id that we need to be, that need to be done. But extra work is the thing that will take us to Jannah. Things like reading Nawafil, reading Tahajjud, going on Madni Dora, doing halkas at Fajr time, going and doing dars in the masjid, doing chok dars, filling out our Madni Anamat, going on kafla, reading the Quran daily, and being nice with people, not backbiting, not hurting anyone's feeling, not lying, not committing any kind of sin. My dear viewers of Madni channel, if we can do this, then inshallah azza wa jal, our Lord will be pleased with us, and we will inshallah by His grace and the wasila of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will enter Jannah.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Mother Channel, you just heard the reminder of the day. And basically, you know, we need to make a change in our lives. We need to make a change in our lives. Reflect and think to ourselves, you know, where am I heading? The path that I am on now, if I continue on this path, where I'll go? You know, when you're on the motorway, and here in the UK, if you're on, let's say, the main motorways here in the UK, the M1 and the M6. Let's say you're on the M1, and you're heading north on the M1. You can see where you're going to go. You're going to either get to here, or you're going to get to there, or you're going to get to there. If you're heading south, you're going to get to here, or you're going to get to there, you're going to get to there. If we look at our lives, look at what paths we are going on now, and ask yourself, where are you going to go? Not in this dunya, not in this dunya. I'm not saying to you that, okay, the path that you're going to go on now, you're going to get a degree, you're going to go to university, you're going to become a doctor, you're going to become a liar, you're going to become this, whatever you're going to become. What I'm saying to you is with the deed that you are performing now, with the way that you are living your life now, that I am on this path, where I don't read my namaz, I don't fast in the month of Ramadan, I don't pay the zakat that is due upon me, I don't try and follow any of the sunnahs of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I don't, let alone do I love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I don't even know anything about him, right? Hajj became fard upon me 10 years ago, I never performed it. Ask yourself, where do you think your final abode will be? I'm not going to give you the answer, you should know the answer. But if you live your life, you're on this path, where you're reading your namaz 5 times a day, with humbleness, with sincerity, you're fasting during the month of Ramadan, you're safeguarding yourself from committing as many sins as possible, you're trying to do your best, you're paying your zakat, as soon as Hajj became farz upon you, you went and performed your Hajj, you try to do good deeds, you try to be kind, gentle, and nice person, then ask yourselves, what path am I now on? And now ask yourselves, these are the two extremes, which path do I want to be on? And if I want to be on this path, then I have to follow the rules of this path. Yeah. When I'm on this path, when it says a roundabout comes, I go around the roundabout. When it says stop at the traffic lights, I stop at the traffic lights. When I'm on this path, when it says go, I go. When it says stop, I stop. So you have to decide what path you want to be on. And then you have to follow the rules on that path. You have to follow the signals on that path. You have to follow the indications on that path. So as Muslims, we need to reflect. Where are we going? What are we doing? And what will be our final abode? Viewers of the channel, you're watching Rise and Shine. Once again, I've slightly diverted from the topic. Please forgive me. But today we're talking about the great companion, the third Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Hazrat Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu. He was such a great companion of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he is amongst, viewers of the channel, he's amongst those blessed companions who accepted faith at the start of Islam, right at the beginning. Right at the beginning when there was only a few numbers. And again, that is very, very significant as well, viewers of the channel. Nowadays, if we look at the environment of Dawat Islami, for example, just to make it in an example for you, that Dawat Islami, alhamdulillah, is widespread. It's all over the world now, in many, many countries. So when people come into the environment of Dawat Islami, they're basically joining a train that is already functional and it's working, and it's going at huge speeds. But those people that were with Amir al-Sunnah right at the beginning, then people definitely, in today's age, in today's times, if we think about those people who were with Amir al-Sunnah right at the beginning, When there were only a few, then without doubt, their status is greater in Dawah's community than anybody else. And similarly, well, not even similarly, more, without doubt, and we cannot compare anything, you know, please forgive me if this is taken out of context, but we cannot compare anything in today's age to the sacrifices that they made. The sacrifices that they made at that time, entering into the fold of Islam, when people were persecuting the Muslims, when people were throwing stones at the Muslims, when people throwing garbage at the Muslims, when people were humiliating the Muslims, at that time, those people that stood by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look at the rewards that they get as a result of their sacrifices. We are told that 1.8 billion Muslims are around the world today, and it's because of their sacrifices. Allahu Akbar. And he, on the command of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had the honor of migrating twice in the path of Allah azza wa jalla. He was also the one person who has the honor of being the Jamil Quran, either person that gathered the Quran so that we have it in the present format. He has prayed towards both of the Qiblas. He was the one at the time who prayed towards the Qibla when the Qibla was Jerusalem, Baitul Maqaddas, and he is also the one that has prayed towards the Makkah Sharif as well. His name is included in the list of blessed companions who remain firm on the faith despite enduring all difficulties of relatives. He also had the honor, the great honor, that nobody else can ever have. He had the honor of marrying two of the daughters, one after another, of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, when in today's times, that when you give your daughter to someone, when you give to your daughter to someone, and then, you know, as time passes, you look at your son-in-law and you think to yourself, you know what? Did I do the right thing? Did I do the wrong thing? Am I sure? Am I not sure? But when your daughter passes away, would you be willing to give another daughter to that person? And you would only do that because now, previously when you give your first daughter, you only saw him a little bit. You knew a little bit about him. Now you know everything about him. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam married his second daughter to this great companion. So what status did this person have? And he was matchless in his life and his appearance, and he's included amongst those people who would spend their entire entire nights in worshipping Allah azza wa jalla. He had such a tolerant character that he embraced martyrdom, but he did not allow the spilling of blood in the blessed city of the noble Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was also matchless in his forbearance, patience and kindness, and he was a pious person of humbleness and humility. Allahu Akbar. He was also followed the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't ask questions. He didn't know why, what, where, when. He just followed. It is stated, viewers of the channel, that once Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Hasmani Ghani radiallahu anhu sat by the entrance of the masjid. His eyes was not far away. He was sat at the entrance of the masjid, and he asked for meat of a goat's foreleg to be brought to him. So the foreleg of the goat to be brought to him, sit there and eat it. Now his house wasn't far away. He could have gone to his home, but he, no, he decided to sit here. And then he then offered salah without redoing his wuzu. And he was asked that, why have you done this? And he said that I once saw the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sitting here. He ate the same meat. He then repeated his salah. He then did his salah without repeating his wuzu. And I'm following that what the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat in a place. He ate meat. And now Sayyidina Hazrat Usmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, remembering that waqi, remembering that incident, went and sat there in that same spot and ate meat. Why? What is the logic? What's the benefit? The benefit is in respect and love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Logic? For lovers, there is no logic. Lovers, there is no logic. For lovers, there is just love. Lovers just follow. And these companions, they did it. Once Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Usmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, he began smiling. He was smiling whilst he was performing his wuzu. And he was asked the reason. Why are you smiling? You're just performing your wuzu and you're smiling at the same time. Why are you smiling? He said that I once saw the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiling, having performed wuzu at this very place. That's why I'm smiling. Allahu Akbar. Just think of the mindset, how they thought. That they just wanted to do everything that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. They wanted to follow him with whichever way they could. And this was the show of love, the show of respect that they had. And once Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Usmani Ghani radiallahu anhu said that he made the intention of salah one cold night in the winter. And he asked for water from his slave Sayyidina Humran radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the slave presented water to him, so he began washing his hands and face from it. And the slave requested, "May Allah Azza wa Jal protect you. You're performing wuzu even though the night is in fact very, very cold." He replied, "I've heard from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam that the person who performs perfect wuzu, Allah Azza wa Jal forgives his former and his latter sins." Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. If we keep this, you know, mindset in mind that, you know, he performed wuzu to his best of his ability because he was told by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if a person performs wuzu perfectly, then Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive your sins. How many of us know how to perform wuzu properly? How many of us have had our wuzu checked from someone? Yes, you learnt it 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago. When you were in the madrasa as a child, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, the imam sahab or the teacher taught you once and you saw everybody else doing it. Or maybe you weren't even taught, you just saw everybody doing it and you copied them. Were you taught, this is the first question, were you taught properly or did you just follow people? And secondly, have you had it checked to make sure you're still performing wuzu properly? And thinking about what I've just mentioned, some of the incidents of Sayyidina Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu, how many of us have that passion, that yearning to follow the sunnahs of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How many of us, you know, want to follow the sunnah? You know, we were talking the other day about the Imam al-Sharif, about the rewards of wearing the Imam al-Sharif. This is a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But then when we were talking about to someone, they said, "Well, you know, it's your nafs. It's hard to overcome your nafs in doing it." But this is what you need to do. You should not be thinking to yourself that, "Oh, what will people say if I wear the Imam al-Sharif? What will people say if I have the beard on my face? What will people say if I have the miswak in my pocket? What will people say if they see me going to the masjid backwards and forwards? What will they say? What will they say? Tell me, what will they say? What will they say? They say, you become a mulana, or you become very religious, or you become this." I pray that in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal we become the status of a mulana. I pray in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal that Allah Azza wa Jal accepts us as being religious. I pray in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal that Allah accepts this. I don't care what people say or think, or we shouldn't care what people think or say. We should only care and think whenever, whatever action we do, whatever we do in our lives, think to yourself, is this action an act that will please Allah Azza wa Jal? If this act will please Allah Azza wa Jal, do it. If this act will displease Allah Azza wa Jal, then don't do it. And that should be our criteria, nothing else. Not what people will say, not what family will say, not what they will say, what he will say. No, whatever is the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we try our best to follow that. And that is the status, views of Mother Channel. That is the status of the companions, that they didn't think, they didn't ask why, they didn't ask when, they did not think to themselves, "Oh, well, you know, it's not going to be easy doing this, is it?" No, they saw the Prophet doing it, they heard the Prophet doing it, they did it. And that's what we should be like. And if we are true to our deen, then we need to develop that love inside us. And when you develop that love inside you for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then everything goes by the wayside. Everything will go by the wayside and you will not be affected by what people say and think. Yes, your nafs will say to you, "Look, I want to wear a suit and a jacket today. I want to wear this and I want to wear that and I want to do this and I want to do that." But then you say to yourself, "No, I want to live my life according to the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Then inshallah azza wa jalla will benefit from this. Views of Mother Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, and today we're going to go to the daily hadith, the hadith of the day, and hopefully we're going to learn something in the hadith of the day. Then inshallah azza wa jalla, straight after the break, we have our guest all the way from South Africa, mashallah, Amiruddin Bhai is with us. Inshallah azza wa jalla, he will join us after the break and he'll give us some Madani pearls with regards to the life of Sayyidina Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. Let's go to the hadith of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
It is mentioned in Shu'b al-Iman, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, طَلَبُ كَسْبِ الْحَلَالِ فَرِيضَةٌ بَعْدَ الْفَرِيضَةِ, that the seeking of a lawful income is an obligation after other obligations, meaning that as we have obligations like the prayer and paying zakat if we're eligible, to seek a halal or permissible or lawful means of income is also an obligation. In fact, it's an act of worship. We should not think that our striving to earn for our family members is a burden. We should not think that our seeking halal or lawful means of sustenance or income for our family members is something which is not rewarding. It is in fact rewarding. It's an act of worship, and if done with good intention, with every appropriate intention, our reward increases, because our intention is that we earn and we seek this halal means of sustenance, or this permissible, lawful means of income, so that we do not need to ask from other people, so that we are free of asking in need from those around us, and we are able to help those who are in need through the sustenance that we are granted.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, and on today's program we're talking about our rich heritage, our rich past, so that we can learn something from the lives of our pious predecessors. And again, it's a sorry state today that amongst the Muslims, we don't know anything about our past. We don't know anything about our pious predecessors. We don't know about the people that sacrificed their lives for the sake of Islam. We do not know about the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We do not know about the Khalifa, the righteous Khalifas. We do not know about their prophets. And so that's why on Rise and Shine, inshallah, azzawajal, at least once a week, we're going to talk about our pious predecessors, and hopefully we can learn something about our rich heritage, and then we can be proud. And we should be proud. As Muslims, we should be proud of our heritage. We should be proud, and we should have these people as our role models. And today we're talking about a specific role model, the true lover of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Hazrat Usman Ghani, radiallahu anhu. What a great lover of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was. And we mentioned some of his incidents before, but alhamdulillah, and we have Amiruddin bhai, may Allah azza wa jalla reward him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Amiruddin bhai, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, with your du'as.
Amiruddin bhai, today we're talking about the great companion, Sayyidina Hazrat Usman Ghani, radiallahu anhu. Which so far we just mentioned only a few incidents about the love that he had, and how he was so ardent in following the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you can give some of our viewers some motherly pearls, how they can, you know, look at Sayyidina Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu. That we want, the aim of the program today is that people can look at these great personalities, look up to them, look at their lives, and make these people the role models.
Alhamdulillah, as we know, that Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu was a very beloved companion of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But very interestingly, in his early life, before he became a Muslim, it's mentioned that at that time, you know, in Arabia, alcohol was rife, gambling was a norm, and there obviously were people fighting and killing over those trivial things. And then also fornication was rampant, but a handful of people refrained from some act, this kind of acts. And it's like Almighty Allah protected them. And amongst them was Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu. He was amongst the few who in his time never took part in what was at that time a norm of the Arabian society.
Viewers of the channel, you're watching Rise and Shine. We're just going to have a little package now with regards to Sayyidina Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu, a little bit more that we can learn about his life. We'll go to the package inshallah azza wa jalla. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Usman Ghani's rank is very high indeed. In his life, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu bought paradise twice from the merciful Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The first time, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu purchased a well called Bire Ruma from a Jew and endowed it for the Muslims to drink from it. The second time was during the Battle of Usrat. The event is narrated in Sunan Tirmizi as follows. Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated, I was present in the blessed court of the noble Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who was motivating the Sahaba for the Battle of Tabuk. Sayyidina Usman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu stood up and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, I take it upon myself to donate 100 camels along with saddles and other related provision, the beloved and blessed Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam then resumed his inspirational efforts. Sayyidina Usman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu stood up again and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I take the responsibility for contributing 200 camels with all the provisions. The most dignified Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam then resumed his motivational efforts once again. Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu stood up once again and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam, I take the responsibility of donating 300 camels with all the provisions. The narrator has further reported, I saw that when Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam heard this, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam came down from his refulgent pulpit and declared twice, from today, whatever Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu does, he will not be held accountable. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. And just before that break, mashallah, which we learned again more about the great status of Sayyidina Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu. We had Amiruddin Bhai all the way from South Africa. We had a little bit of a drop in the line, but inshallah, we got him back now. Amiruddin Bhai, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
MashaAllah. Amiruddin, sorry we lost you for a few seconds there, and that's why we went to the package. But if you can hear us now, then inshallah, continue with the Madani pearls that you were giving us.
Okay, as we know that because of the hostilities in Medina, I mean in Mecca, when Islam was new, Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu was the first, amongst the first to migrate to Abyssinia with his blessed wife, Hazrat Ruqayya radiallahu anha, who was the blessed daughter of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then when he returned, he migrated to Medina. And there are many, many beautiful things about him spending his money for the purpose of Islam. And one is, in Medina, there was a scarcity of water. And the main source of water was a well called Bir al-Ruma, which was owned by a Jew who used to sell the water to the Muslim at a very high price, causing hardship to the Muslims. And beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam desired that someone should purchase this. And none other than Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu purchased it for 20,000 dirham. And he gave, now that water was free for the Muslims, and he relieved the Muslims from this predicament as well. And also it mentioned that when the pagans gathered to fight in the Battle of Badr, and Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu could not participate because his blessed wife Hazrat Bibi Ruqayya radiallahu anha was close to, was on a deathbed and she was about to pass away. So beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam excused him. And look at his good fortune. When Hazrat Bibi Ruqayya passed away, then Hazrat Usman Ghani had the honor of being married to the second daughter of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Umm Kulsum radiallahu anha. And that is why he's called Zun Nurain, the possessor of two Noors, the two beautiful daughters of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we know the famous story of the, talking about his greatness. When beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw in his dream that he was making tawaf of the Kaaba, so they went with the companions, and history has it, he went to perform Umrah. They left Medina Sharif. He went with about 1,400 companions. When they reached Hudaybiyah, and they sent Hazrat Usman Ghani to go and explain the purpose of coming, not to fight, but to for the purpose of Umrah. The reason why the scholars say that Hazrat Usman Ghani was sent, because he had families and relatives living in Mecca, and he was very highly respected. Because even when he left Mecca, but the tribe used to respect him. Therefore, he had the honor of going and representing beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he went to the Quraysh. And then there was a rumor that Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu was assassinated. But now, the famous Bayt al-Ridwan took place. There's something for scholars have mentioned, and something for us to think. when in the Bayt al-Ridwan they took pledge, they made bayat, where Almighty Allah wants to mention this also in the Quran, that though they were taking the bayat of with the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were in fact making the pledge with Allah azza wa jalla as well. And beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed his hand on top of his hand and said, this is the pledge of on behalf of Hadhrat Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu. So what does this say? It means that our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that he was not assassinated, that he was alive. Otherwise, why would he take pledge on his behalf, make ba'ath on his behalf? Alhamdulillah. It's also mentioned that during this negotiation, the Meccans offered Hazrat Usman Ghani to make, while he was there, say, why didn't you make the tawaf of the Kaaba? He said, how can I make the tawaf of Kaaba without the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam being present? Imagine he had this opportunity after traveling from Medina to Makkah, and now he's in the presence of the Kaaba and was given the opportunity. Look at his commitment and love for the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said no. He refused. He said, I will not do it without beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It shows his love and faith for beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And another very remarkable thing about Hazrat Usman Ghani was at the expedition of Tabuk, the Battle of Tabuk, when Heraclius, the Byzantine emperor, gathered a huge force to attack the Muslims in Medina. And beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked for the Muslims to contribute. And the contribution of Hadhrat Usman Ghani surpassed everyone. This is mentioned, he provided for 1/3 of the army. And they say at that stage, the army was like 10,000. He provided fully for 1/3. On top of that, he provided 1,000 camels, 70 horses, and thousands of dinars. And beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself led this expedition. And as it mentioned also his other contribution, when beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the masjid was becoming too small, Masjid al-Nabawi, that he wanted to expand it, Hadhrat Usman Ghani instantly purchased the land adjoining the masjid for 25,000 dirham. And also during his caliphate, he further expanded and rebuilt and with his own expense. And he mentioned even the land in Jannat al-Baqi, he purchased it with his money. And at that time, he didn't take even a single dirham from Bayt al-Mal. And it was his habit that he always help orphans and widows and destitute and needy. And Alhamdulillah, it's mentioned during his rule, the Islamic territory expanded northeast of Asia, even north of Africa, even Armenia, Azerbaijan, Turkestan, Kurdistan, Afghanistan, all these were, we became under Islamic rule. And even in Africa, in Egypt, and part of Al-Maghrib, was all these were conquered at the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, but it was expanded right to the western border of Egypt during the reign of Hazrat Usman Ghani. Is mentioned. Also is mentioned that during his caliphate, something new that was done, that he established the navy for the Muslims, both in Syria and Egypt, to undertake naval expedition. And during his caliphate, is also mentioned that the island of Cyprus in the Mediterranean Ocean, that was captured by the Muslims. It became under Islamic rule. So these are all his gain. And also mentioned his habit was on Fridays in Masjid al-Nabawi, he used to give free access to whoever had any complaints. He should get information regarding state affairs and used to listen to the complaints of people. Imagine being the Khalifa. You get these kind of leaders these days that sit in the public and listen to the people's complaints. Alhamdulillah. This was the quality of Hazrat Usman Ghani. And also mentioned during his rule that he acquired land for pasture for the horses and camels, a vast amount of land. And as you mentioned, that then another very remarkable contribution was that when he was told that because the Islamic empire was expanding, people were beginning to read Quran in different ways, some making mistakes, etc. So during his rule, that the Quran that was compiled during the time of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq's rule, that was kept in the custody of Hazrat Umm al-Mu'mineen, Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu anha, daughter of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu,
Then he gave this job of transcribing this copy to Hazrat Zayd bin Sabit radiallahu anhu, and made copies of this Quran, and he sent it to different provinces. Therefore, he has earned the title Jami al-Quran. And we had this in Qudba Razviya. Allah Hazrat captured it. Jami al-Quran, Kamil al-Hayai wal-Iman. That is, we read it. So his title is the one, compiler of the Quran. And also the other one, Kamil al-Hayai wal-Iman. That was his character. He was a symbol of modesty and of Iman. Okay? He mentioned that because of him, the pristine purity of the Quran is preserved until the day of judgment. MashaAllah. It's a great title of his. And during, obviously, there's some very beautiful sayings which I would like to conclude with of Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu. This is something very important. This is what he's saying. He said, knowledge without practice, wealth without expenditure in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, piety for the sake of show, that means prompted by worldliness, and a long life without stock of good deeds are useless.
Allah.
I mean, you have knowledge without practice. Imagine also wealth not spending the path of Allah. And he mentioned because of his integrity and his greatness and his piety, his business always flourished. The more he spent on the path of Allah, the more he got. And that will tell, like for viewers of the Madni channel, the more you spend on the path of Allah, the more Almighty Allah gives you. Because he was never short of money. As you said, even later on, during his khilafat, many like buying that land for pasture. He didn't take money from the Baitul Mal. It was his own money that he did this. And then Hazrat Usman Ghani loved three things. Namely, he said, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and read and teach the Quran. Alhamdulillah. Imagine reading and teaching the Quran. It is like through his effort, Alhamdulillah, as we said, he compiled the Quran. And reading and teaching, that means teaching how the Quran is supposed to be read correctly. Alhamdulillah, we find that also in Da'at Islami where we are emphasized in Madrasah al-Madina to read the Quran with correct tajweed, with correct pronunciation, and Alhamdulillah. So this is also one of the things that Hazrat Usman Ghani also advised. He mentioned he also exhorted people to acquire two habits, namely speaking of truth, that means always be truthful, and also habit of doing good deeds. And then he said these four essential things. He said these are essential. To associate with the worthy is laudable, but he said to follow them is essential. That means just associating without following is not going to be beneficial. Reading the Quran, he says, is virtuous, but to act according to his injunction is essential. And then he said to visit the sick is meritorious, but that means very good. But to call them to make the behest is essential. To visit the mazars and shrines of religious people is piety, but to prepare for death, that means using the example and prepare yourself for death is essential.
Subhanallah.
And then he also mentioned, this is something that he said, the one who knows that the world is temporary, but he still loves it, he says he's surprised at such a person. He's also surprised that, he said, the one who knows that death is certain, but he's not taking it seriously. The one who believes in hell, but still commits sins, he's surprised, he said, that such people. He who believes in the existence of Allah Azza wa Jal, but still seeks assistance from others. He who is aware of paradise, but still engages in worldly pleasures. And then he said, he who knows that shaitan is your enemy, but you still let shaitan dictate to you. And he who believes in predestination, that means, but he still become aggrieved with what happens. I mean, they have a problem in life. You believe that everything happens in the will of Allah, but then when something happens to you, you become sad and despondent. And he said, I'm surprised at such people. Then he said, one who knows that account are rendered on the day of resurrection, and yet he hoards his wealth. May Almighty Allah give us tawfiq to understand these messages of Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu. Because as you mentioned, this is something that we should use in our lives to acquire better character. Because the thing that we are, as Muslims, we are so blessed that there's such a rich past and rich history that we can learn. But unfortunately, today, we are not interested in seeking knowledge and also learning from the lives of our predecessors in the past who were rich in Islamic character, so we can gain from them. Unfortunately, we don't have the time these days to learn about our deen. Alhamdulillah, with the program that you are running, we have this opportunity to learn and to improve ourselves. Alhamdulillah, as you know, that due to Madni channel, how much benefit is being passed. Like for people who cannot read books, they don't have the time. How simple it is, just sit in front of Madni channel and listen. And same time, you gain knowledge. And Alhamdulillah, the work that you are doing, and especially this program as well, Rise and Shine. So inshallah, if we rise now, we will shine in the day of Akhirah. May Allah Tawfiq understand and learn from the life of Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu. May this make us also amongst those that will be blessed by his life and gain a rightful place in the Akhirah. Ameen bi jahan nabil ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Jazakallah Amiruddin, by may Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you. Viewers of Madani channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, mashallah. And we just heard some great Madani pearls there with regards to the life of Sayyidina Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala from our Amiruddin by all the way from South Africa. And I think if we can try and adopt them in our life, make a change in our life, then inshallah Azza wa Jalla we'll have a better life. And inshallah Azza wa Jalla we'll have a better hereafter. We're now going to have a small break. We're going to have a kalam of the day, inshallah. Well, not the kalam of the day, another kalam. We've already had a kalam. So we're going to have a second kalam. It's a blessing today, inshallah, that we're going to have two kalams. Let's go to the kalam and let's see what we're going to listen to today. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Oh. guzra kare pisar pidar ko khabar na ho guzra kare pisar pidar ko khabar na ho se utaro
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm still swaying. I enjoyed that kalam. I hope you all enjoyed it as well, viewers of the channel. Viewers of the channel, on Rise and Shine today, we're talking about the great status, the great companion, Sayyidina Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. What a great person he was. And we've heard a little bit, mashallah, before the break from Amiruddin Baif, some of the words that he mentioned, some of his sayings as well. But with regards to his sayings, that is one thing, but also, what did the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself say about him? Allahu Akbar. These are again things that we need to know, that regarding the companions, they had such great status. Why? Because the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw it, and he mentioned those status, and he talked about them. And with regards to Sayyidina Hazrat Usman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahu Akbar, it was stated, Usman radiyallahu ta'ala is from me, and I am from Usman radiyallahu ta'ala. Allah, Allah, Allah. In another, it is stated, hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in paradise there will be a friend for every prophet, and my friend is Usman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Imagine gaining that status, that in paradise, not only will you be able to see the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only will you get the great status of being close to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but having that person who is the friend, who is known to be the friend of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is also stated, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on the day of judgment, from the intercession of Usman radiallahu ta'ala, 70,000 people will enter paradise without accountability upon whom hell had become wajib. Allahu Akbar. Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us amongst those 70,000 people that through Sayyidina Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala will enter paradise without accountability. Ya Allah, make us amongst those people. Ya Allah, make us amongst those people. Ya Allah, make us amongst those people. Ameen. Allah. Allah. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, from my nation, the one who is the most modest and most respectable and noble is Sayyidina Usman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala. And again, this again was his stated, that he was a very noble, humble person as well. He had so much humbleness, so much humility inside him, that we mentioned that in every khutbah and every friday, we mentioned that about him. We mentioned the great status about him. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about his modesty, which is what we mentioned about in the Friday khutbah. The person with the most modesty amongst my nation is Sayyidina Usman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. This is the great status that he had. And as we hear here, viewers of Muncham, not one, not two, but here we have mentioned five hadiths of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned him. And there are many more as well in which he talked about him and mentioned his great status. Allahu Akbar. And so you think, now you understand, now you can try to understand, viewers of Muncham, why we keep on saying to you that the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had this great status because they did so much, they sacrificed so much. They didn't say they love. Nowadays, when we say that we love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is here. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we love you. Bas. But them companions, they sacrificed everything. The whole, the lives, the bodies, the wealth, the health, the strength, the families, everything. It wasn't lip service for them. They didn't have to say it. They didn't have to say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I love you. They didn't have to say it. They did it. They showed it. They acted upon it. Their actions were louder than their words. And that's how they lived their lives. But they also, at the same time, viewers of the channel, which is something that is very, very important, that these people, and especially the likes of Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, that these people that were guaranteed paradise during the lifetime of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that these people are guaranteed paradise. These people, they still did not leave their ibadat. We believe that all the companions, all the sahaba, jannah, they're all in paradise, insha'Allah azza wa jal. But even then, even though they were given the glad tidings, the news of glad tidings that they will enter paradise, they will be amongst those people that will enter paradise without accountability. Even then, they did not leave the ibadat. And so today, look at us. Look at how we are lazy in our ibadat. It is stated that Sayyidina Zubair bin Abdullah, Ramatullah ta'ala, states that Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Usman al-Ghani, radiallahu anhu, would always keep fast. And he would rest some watch in the start of the night, and then he would spend the entire night in ibadat. He spent the entire night in worship. And it is also stated that whenever Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Usman al-Ghani, radiallahu anhu, was martyred, his wife said to the martyrs, you have martyred that person who would worship all night and would complete the Holy Quran in one rakat. Allahu Akbar. In one rakat, he would recite the whole Quran. Nowadays, when we're reading our namaz, we find the shortest surah, Surah Khalas, Surah Kawthar. Oh, that's the shortest one. Quickly, finish our namaz. Allahu Akbar. And when the Imam Sahib in the Tarawih, he's reading today because it's the beginning of Ramadan, he's going to read 1.5 sparas in 20 rakats. Oh, that was too long, man. That was too long. Imagine the whole rakat, the whole Quran in one rakat. Sayyidina Abdul Rahman Tahmi, Ramatullah ta'ala, states that I spent the night at Maqam Ibrahim once. After offering the Isha Salah, I arrived at Maqam Ibrahim to the extent that I stood in it. Meanwhile, someone placed a hand in between my shoulders. I saw that it was Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Usman bin Affan, radiallahu ta'ala. And after some time, he started the recitation of the Holy Quran from Surah Fatiha up to the extent that he completed the whole Quran. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. This is the great status, views of Mani Channel, that these people had, that they didn't abandon the purpose in life. And the purpose in life, views of Mani Channel, our purpose in life is not to get the big business, not get to that house, not get to that car. Not, that's not our purpose. And like we said to you before, if you were to make a list of what you want to achieve in this dunya, where on that list would it be? Paradise. Where on that list would it even be on that list? It should be number one on that list. And to do that, once you realize what you want to achieve, once you realize your goal, that this is what I want to achieve, then you look at that goal and you say, okay, how can I achieve this? What do I need to do to achieve this goal? And to achieve the goal of paradise, we need to follow the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. We need to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. And these companions, they were examples of how to live our life. And so viewers of Madani Channel, viewers of Rise and Shine, we need to learn about our rich heritage and we need to be proud of it. We have so much to be proud of. We have so much to be proud of. We are so fortunate that we have this rich heritage, that these people, they sacrificed their lives, they sacrificed their wealth, they sacrificed everything they had. And if it wasn't for their sacrifices, viewers of Madani Channel, me and you would not be sat here today. The sacrifices that the companions made, the sacrifices that the great companions made, the sacrifices that the Khalifa al-Rashidin made, that they had the old ummah that was there in front of them, they were concerned about every single person's problems, every single person's worries, and they were there to help us. Allahu Akbar. Today, viewers of Madani Channel, we need to learn a lesson from their lives. And there are countless millions of lessons that we can learn from the Sahaba's lives. Millions of lessons that we can learn from the lives of the great companions like Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu. And also, if only we can learn about the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Read his seerah. Read how he dealt with people. Then inshaAllah azza wa jalla, we can benefit. We can learn to adopt the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can learn to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as he should be loved, to respect him as he should be respected, to follow him as he should be followed. And if we do this, viewers of Mother Channel, then inshaAllah azza wa jalla, we'll fulfill our purpose. We'll achieve our goal. InshaAllah azza wa jalla, we'll achieve our goal of paradise. Viewers of Madani Channel, you've been watching Arise and Shine. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.